You join me in prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As Brenda mentioned, over the next few weeks, we're spending our time in worship with scriptures that got Anabaptists in trouble. We are part of a tradition that begins with people who read the Bible and lived out the teachings of Jesus in the world in a way that often put them on the outs with their fellow Christians. At various times, Mennonites were called heretics, rabble-rousers, fanatics, rebels, irreligious, and wicked. Our spiritual ancestors considered themselves faithful adherents to the life and teachings of Jesus Christ, even when it did put them at odds with those around them. And that story, our story, begins with baptism. If you were born in the 16th century, you would have been baptized into the Holy Roman Catholic Church. That church served as both your government and your religious community. Your baptism records became your tax records, and those taxes would go to fund the wars of the princes and to build these elaborate estates for wealthy priests. You would be expected, because of your allegiance as a baptized Christian, to go to war for those princes and that church when the army was called up. You would expect to adhere to laws created by popes, no matter how immoral or corrupt those popes may be, because they, and not you, had direct access to God. But if you Christians began to question what they were living out in the church, they read their Bible in their own language, in German. They heard scriptures like the one we heard today. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into Jesus' death? Therefore, you have been buried with him into baptism into his death. In baptism, we die to sin. The power of death and destruction that takes hold of us, our social order, our economics, our relationships, and it turns us away from that life into new life. The power of death dies. And baptism enacts this power in each of us, who together make up the church. And that did not seem to be what was happening in the state church around them that was steeped in corruption and avarice. And so they turned to scripture for guidance. They read the words of Jesus, "Go therefore to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." And as they read the Gospels, they witnessed story after story of people who, through the power of the Holy Spirit, encountered Jesus and their lives were changed. They wanted new life. And so they were baptized as a public pledge to this love for Jesus. We are here today because a handful of Christians wanted to follow Jesus, really follow Jesus. They rejected the baptism that they were given. One that didn't make them any more than citizens of a powerful nation. They baptized one another and invited others to be a part of this new living body of Jesus Christ. The song we sang today for Children's Time was written by an Anabaptist who are still thinking about baptism and new life and faith 500 years later. It was actually written by Annalie Loeb Tyson in just a few hours in a chilly Winnipeg at the workshop Emily and I were at last weekend. And the song wants to hold together the ordinariness of water with the wonders of Jesus, the water of life. We had a lot of fun thinking about all the things that water can do. I even learned a new Canadianism, a booter. Apparently, this is when you step into a deep puddle and the water goes on top of your boot. We couldn't sing Getting a Booter in the Water of Life without laughing very, very hard. But the song reminds us that water is this potent vehicle for baptism, the ritual that makes us Christians in public, because water is so expansive. We drink it and cook with it and bathe with it and play in it and fish in it. We brush our teeth with it. We dunk our friends with it. And it reminds us of our vulnerability and all that we have in common with non-human animals. Baptism tugs on these symbols of grace and rebirth and repentance and resolve to follow Jesus. And water is also dangerous. Animals like us, who require oxygen to breathe, can drown in water. We can drown in only inches of water. One of the most famous stories about death in water is the flood in Genesis that wipes out all living creatures except for 8 people and a boat full of animals. The writer of 1 Peter explains that this disaster prefigured baptism. We go down into the water in death, and yet life rises again. Life to death, death to life. In the Byzantine church, in the 5th and 6th centuries, baptismal fonts were designed so that new Christians could experience scriptures like the one we heard about today in the architecture of their church. Christians were baptized by immersion by walking down these 3 steps into this pool that was shaped like a cross, the instrument of Christ's death. I pulled one of these baptismal fonts up so you could see it. This is a picture of the North African ruins of St. Vitalis. You can see the cross, how this goes under the ground. Baptisms were symbolically buried with Christ on the cross in the water of baptism. They went in one side and they went up the other side. Centuries later, the symbolism of death and baptism would become very real in the lives of Anabaptist Christians. These Christians began to talk about the reality of this threefold baptism, baptism that takes place in 3 different stages. The first is God's initiation of grace in our lives, a spirit baptism. The second movement was our pledge to God to receive this love and live within it, a water baptism. But because that love is so strong, it threatens the powers of this world. And so we all experience a third baptism, a baptism of blood. Early Anabaptists quoted 1 Peter 5 often when they spoke of baptism. These are the 3 that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these 3 agree. While martyrdom was more than a likely end for the first Anabaptists, those who later came to recognize that the baptism of blood could look like daily acts of sacrifice for the gospel. Hutterites thrown in prison in Leavenworth, Kansas, because they refused to enlist in the military. Mennonite Central Committee workers who risked their work without private security because they could not condone the killing of even those who wanted to cause them harm. Eritrean Mennonites who were persecuted for their faith by their government. This is a strange sales pitch for a religious community. When Jesus calls a person, he bids her come and die. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the Christian pastor who was killed by the Nazis for opposing Hitler, wrote those words. When Jesus calls a person, he bids him come and die. I don't think that Bonhoeffer went into his baptism thinking that this is how his story would end. He actually began his life as a German nationalist, believing war was inevitable and just a necessary part of defending one's country. But as Bonhoeffer got to know Jesus, especially living with a Black church in Harlem, where he spent years of his study after his study, he met Jesus again. He watched as Jesus came to life in front of him, and he was changed. But Bonhoeffer also knew that the call to follow Jesus unto death doesn't end there, because resurrection is waiting on the other side. He meant this for us as individuals, but he meant it in another way. In his death, Jesus defeats death forever. We are no longer bound to the power of death that lives in this world, because God is doing a new thing, and we are part of that newness in life. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Into the water, we die to the sin of this world, buried with Christ in baptism, and we arise to new life. It is not difficult for us to see the work of sin and death around us. This week, a Ugandan doctor turned away patient after patient, many children and pregnant mothers, after the U.S. overnight halted funding for HIV prevention. Two of every 10 people in his village carry a viral HIV load. On Monday, when I got to work here at our host church, I found a letter from the Episcopal Refugee Service printed out on the front desk. All of their staff was let go following the illegal and unconstitutional end to their Grant One funding as an organization. Death is all around us. The lie of scarcity is all around us. The sin of greed consumes our nation. But beloved, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We live. We are life in the midst of death. We died to all of this long ago in the waters of baptism, to scarcity and selfishness in the hoarding of wealth. Now, freed from this death, we have been empowered to life. And so I wonder, where will the power of life after death take you this week? Where will you see God's resurrection erupt into the chaos and despair of these evil days? Where will you follow the water of life churning and inviting us to come and live? Amen.